The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
Hey, I want to hear from you. Would you consider emailing me? You can reach me at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And you can also make me one of your friends on Facebook and drop me a comment. I think that those that think the most about the next life do the most in this life. You say, well, why would that be? Because heaven and earth are connected.
It turns out those who are heavenly minded are the most earthly good. Pastor Greg Laurie says, keep looking up.
Listen, your belief in the afterlife has everything to do with how you live in the before life. And so our feet must be on earth, but our minds should be in heaven.
This is the day.
Cars are equipped with rear view mirrors and side view mirrors. But the safest way to drive is obviously looking out the windshield. It's best to look ahead at what's coming. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie says we should take the same approach to life. We should look ahead to see what's coming. And today we'll do just that as we look at eternal life to help us properly focus on how to live this life. A good many of your questions about heaven will be answered today. We'll learn to look ahead.
I read an interesting article in the paper this last week about some predictions made by scientist Isaac Asimov. And he wrote an article in 1964, and I had to read his predictions that are 50 years old. So 50 years ago, scientist Isaac Asimov predicted, quote, there would be electroluminescent panels that would be in common use. Well, I think he got that one right. We have all the retail displays and signs, and of course, flat panel TVs are everywhere now. So I think that was a pretty accurate prediction. Number two, communication, says Asimov, will be sight and sound. You will see as well as hear the person you telephone. Well, that's clearly true with Skype and Google Hangouts and FaceTime and all the other resources that are out there. Video chatting has become quite common. Thirdly, he said, the screen will be used not only to see the people you call, but to study documents and photographs and read passages from books. That too was accurate. We have computers, we have tablet devices, even smartphones now. And so these were some pretty amazing predictions, but there were other predictions he made that didn't quite come true, because I read these things and I thought, well, I want to read all the predictions he made. So I found the actual document that he wrote, this article, and here's some predictions he made that didn't quite happen. Jets of compressed air will lift land vehicles off the highways. Bridges will be of less importance since cars will be capable of crossing water on their jets. Oh, I wish that were true. Have you ever been stuck in traffic and just wish that you could just go right over the top of everyone? So that clearly didn't happen. Maybe Isaac was watching too many episodes of The Jetsons, which was out at the time he made this prediction, by the way. Also, Asimov envisioned kitchens that would produce auto meals. So you wouldn't even have to make your breakfast. Your kitchen would heat water, make coffee, toast bread, scramble your eggs and your bacon. And he also predicted that robots would be doing our yard work. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't have a robot doing my yard work. However, they have these little robotic vacuum cleaners. Have you seen these? They kind of scoot around the floor. So that's fairly close. And so, you know, he was a fascinating guy, Asimov. He was brilliant. He wrote hundreds of books. He wrote science fiction books as well. And he also was very wrong on one subject that he thought he knew about. And that was the topic of heaven, because he was an atheist. Isaac Asimov said of heaven, quote, I don't believe in an afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven even more. For whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse, end quote. He could not be more wrong. It reminds me of Soviet Yuri Gagarin, who was the first man in outer space. And he was quoted to say, "I saw Earth and it was beautiful." But being a good communist, he also said, "I looked and I did not see God." Oh, wow. Insightful. Hey, if Yuri would have taken off his helmet for 3 seconds, he would have seen God. And Isaac Asimov has now entered eternity. And I hope he put his faith in Christ in the last moments of his life and he could see how glorious heaven is. The last thing heaven is a place of boredom. In fact, heaven is a place of bliss. We're not going to sit around, as the caricatured version suggests, on big billowy clouds, strumming harps and taking long naps, though that probably appeals to some people. But actually, according to Scripture, heaven is a real place for real people who do real things. The Bible is very clear in pointing out heaven is a city. Heaven is a country. Heaven is a garden. Heaven is a paradise. Heaven is a place. It's where we will be reunited with loved ones who have preceded us. Heaven is a place of activity and building and eating and worshiping and much more. And the Bible teaches that one day heaven will come to earth. So when we say I'm going to die as a Christian one day and go to heaven and live there forever, that's not completely accurate, because one day heaven and earth will become one. And so we think a lot about the afterlife, and so we should, or maybe we don't think enough about it. And I think we need to give a lot of thought to what's going to happen later, and it will affect us in the life we're living now. Listen, your belief in the afterlife has everything to do with how you live in the before life. Because you might say, well, what does it matter what happens in heaven? That's a long ways away. Well, you don't know that. You want to think deeply about this. Now, I am a student of heaven. I'm certainly not an expert on the topic. But I'm a student of it, and I've become more of a student of heaven in recent years for obvious reasons. Our son went to be with the Lord, so I find myself often just thinking about heaven, trying to imagine heaven, trying to wrap my mind around heaven. It's a fun thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, there's a lot of books out on the topic of heaven, and many of them are written by people that claim to have been there and have returned. And I'm just going to be upfront with you and tell you that I don't immediately believe someone when they say they've been to heaven and come back, okay? Because the only way I know of knowing what heaven is like is by going to an authoritative source. I only know of one person who's been to heaven and come back and has told me about it, and that is Jesus Christ. And he says in John 6:38, "I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." So he is the expert on heaven, but I am a student of heaven. And I preach a lot of sermons on heaven because I want to bring the idea of how our belief in heaven should affect us while we live on earth. You know, it's sometimes said, oh, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. My greater concern is that I would be so earthly minded, I would be of no heavenly good. I think our belief in the afterlife has a lot to say in how we live in the before life, how we live in the here and now. The way we view the by and by affects us in the here and now. And that brings us to a text that I want to look at with you that tells us what our focus as Christians ought to be. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Let's read that. That's one of the passages we turn to. Paul writes, "Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Now, what does that mean? This phrase, "set your mind," speaks of a diligent, active, single-minded investigation. Have you ever concentrated your energies on a single thing? Researching something, wanting to learn as much as you could about some place perhaps you were going to go visit. That's what we should do with heaven. It is a place we're going to one day go visit. It's a place we're going to one day go and live in. So we should be actively thinking about it. Another way you could translate this phrase that Paul gives us here is think or have this inner disposition. A way to simplify it is think heaven. And by the way, the verb used in this verse is in the present tense. So it would say keep thinking heaven, or another way to put it, keep seeking heaven. So put it all together. Here's what Paul is saying. Constantly keep seeking and thinking about heaven. I like that. Our feet must be on earth, but our minds should be in heaven.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
We love hearing when Pastor Greg's studies help people grow in their daily walk with Christ.
Pastor Greg, thanks for all you do. Your different postings of devotions and sermons have answered so many questions. Many times after reading my Bible, I'll listen to one of your messages. And it's funny how often you preach on what I had just read in the Bible. You're relatable and refreshing. God bless you.
We appreciate that encouragement. How have these daily studies touched you and your family? Tell us your story. Call 1-866-871-1144. That's 1-866-871-1144.
Well, today we're learning to be more heavenly minded. Pastor Greg is leading our study of the hereafter called How Eternity Brings Focus to What Really Matters. Let's continue.
I think that those that think the most about the next life do the most in this life. You say, well, why would that be? Well, it's because we know life goes on. And life doesn't just stop here. We know there's a future reward, or rewards, I should say, waiting for the follower of Jesus Christ. And we also know there's a final judgment, a final court of arbitration. We know every sin we've committed would ultimately come out if it's not forgiven by Jesus Christ. So our belief in the afterlife affects us in this life and the way that we live and the things that we do, because heaven and earth are connected. You know, we often think of heaven as far, far away. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe heaven is just right next door, so to speak. Maybe it's just a thin veil that separates the seen world from the unseen world. There's that story, of course, of Elisha and his servant Gehazi, and they were surrounded by the enemy armies, and Gehazi saw them. Elisha was sleeping, and Gehazi woke up and was freaking out and woke up the sleeping prophet. And I love what Elisha said. He said, Lord, help him to see that those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And suddenly this man's eyes were open, and he saw a supernatural world of angels all around him. And right now, as we sit here in our comfortable little pews or seats, and we hear this message, there's an unseen world around us, a world of God and Satan, of angels and demons, and yes, a world of heaven and ultimately hell. I don't know how far away heaven is, but I know that it may be closer than we think, and heaven affects us here. What did Jesus teach us in the Lord's Prayer? He taught us to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is clearly telling us that our life on earth is affected by our thoughts on heaven. We ought to be thinking heaven. You say, but Greg, why should we do that? Because this could be your last year on this earth. Now, I hope that thought does not frighten or terrify you. The Christian is always ready to go home because he has his ticket. And by that I mean that we have our reservation. It's secure. We know what's going to happen. It's not that we have a death wish, but we know we will see God one day, so it's not something we stress about. We just live our lives that God gives to us. But it could be our last year. And what if it was? Let me ask you this question. If you could read your own obituary today, what do you think people would remember you for? What would be written about you? Read an interesting article in the paper about a man named Val Patterson who died last year. And he decided that he wanted to buck the trend and write his own obituary honestly, right? Because if you've been to some people's services and after you hear them described, you'll think, I don't really know who they're talking about because that's not the person I knew. So this guy decided to write his own obituary. So here's what he said. These are his words. As it turns out, I am the guy who stole the safe from the Mortarview Drive-In back in June of 1971. He says, I could have left that unsaid, but I wanted to get it off my chest. He also admitted to kicking rocks into the Old Faithful geyser at Yellowstone National Park and also admitted that he was banned for life from Disneyland and SeaWorld for youthful hijinks. I mean, honestly, I cracked up reading this. I found it kind of refreshing and so honest. Now, I hope you'll be remembered for more than this, but at least the man was honest. Listen, I don't determine the date of my birth, and I don't determine the date of my death, but I have everything to say about what happens in between those two dates. The great evangelist D.L. Moody was asked the question, if you knew the Lord was returning tonight, how would you spend the rest of your day? That's a good question, isn't it? If you knew, let me ask it of you now. If you knew the Lord was returning tonight, how would you spend the rest of this day? Moody's response was, I wouldn't do anything different than what I do every day. And that's the right response from a Christian who is truly heavenly minded. We want to redeem the time that God has given to us. We don't want to waste it, and we certainly don't want to try to kill it. It's been said that men talk of killing time while time quietly kills them, end quote. Life comes and goes just like that, doesn't it? The Bible says it's like a vapor of smoke that appears for a moment and then vanishes away. The Bible says we live our life like a story that's already been told. Then comes the afterlife. And trust me when I tell you, when you get to the afterlife and you look back on the before life, you will see things far differently. You'll see them from an eternal perspective. You'll realize what really mattered in life was not what you bought, but what you built. What will matter is not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. So let's ask ourselves a question. Why are we here in the first place? Why am I taking up space? Why am I breathing air? Why do I exist? A poll was taken among Americans and they were asked that question. And 61% said the main purpose of life is enjoyment and personal fulfillment. So we know that over half the population of our country thinks that life is here, that they are here to simply be fulfilled and enjoying life. 50% of those who call themselves born-again Christians said the purpose of life is enjoyment and self-satisfaction. Really? Do these Christians read their Bibles? Because if they did, they would not come to that conclusion. Is the purpose of life self-satisfaction? Let me tell you something. Living for pleasure is one of the least pleasurable things a person can do. And everybody lives for something. Everybody has something that gets them out of the bed in the morning. Everyone has something that gets their blood pumping, something they're passionate about. And we often set goals that we want to reach. Maybe some of you have set a goal. A lot of times they're goals of losing weight, right? Getting in better shape, etc. I read an article this week about a woman who set a goal last year that she was able to reach. Here was her goal. It was to only eat at Starbucks stores. That was her goal. And she was successful. Her name, and I'm not making this up, is Beautiful Existence. She must have had hippie parents for sure. Only hippies would name their kid that. She ate only products made from Starbucks for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 365 days over the course of a year. She spent approximately $500 to $600 a month on prepackaged salads, pastries, wraps, and a variety of coffee drinks, all from Starbucks. Now, when I was reading this, the first thought that came to my mind was, why? Why would you set such a goal? And Beautiful Existence, her name, which I have a hard time believing, gave her a response. She said, the reason I did it is because I'm fearless and I want to explore new things in my life. I love to test the water, and each time I challenge myself and I learn a lot. Okay, beautiful existence. Well done. What goals did you set? How should I live? What is my purpose? Why am I here?
Pastor Greg Laurie, with good encouragement today to let eternity influence how we live our lives on a daily basis. And there's more to come in this study here on A New Beginning. If you weren't able to hear all of today's study from Pastor Greg, you can hear the entire broadcast online at harvest.org. Listen from the beginning or fast forward to the part you missed. Or you can even download the MP3 to hear later. The message title is How Eternity Brings Focus to What Really Matters. It's all free, but we do appreciate your financial support to help make these studies possible. Just go to harvest.org. Well, it's a real privilege to have author Sally Lloyd-Jones with us today. She's written a brand new 2-book set that we're happy to make available to parents and grandparents called Found and Loved. Sally, kids really want to know that they're loved.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes they don't feel that.
No.
Even in the best of homes, they can feel less than loved. And it would seem to me that that's a key objective in your new picture book set, isn't it?
Yes, that's absolutely right. Because it's such a privilege to be able to, for those children who maybe aren't read to at home or are in a home that is struggling and, you know, for whatever reason, they don't feel loved. To be able to share God's love with children is the highest calling I can imagine. And I am so honored to do it however I can. So I'll do it directly through sharing Bible storybooks. But if I don't have the way in to do that, I can do it with a picture book that might be about a fish or it might be about a dog. But I know redemption and joy and hope are at the heart of everything in my life. So it can't help but come out in the writing, even if it's telling it slant, as Emily Dickinson said. So I just think there are many ways to share God's love, and I'm always looking for ways to do it. And if a child knows that they're loved by God, then that's where it all begins, isn't it? You can't start with the rules, because that will just make a child despair. You know, the rules and the how to live best, they come after you know you're loved, I think, with a child.
So everybody, you're hearing from Sally Lloyd-Jones, and I'm reading from her biography on the back of her book that is called Loved, based on the Lord's Prayer. Sally Lloyd-Jones is an award-winning New York Times bestselling writer of over 25 books for children. Her books are written for children, I like this part, although a lot of adults we know are sneaking off with them and reading them too. True, it's true. And they include the Jesus Storybook Bible, winner of the Platinum Book Award, and an ALA Notable, Thoughts to Make Your Heart Sing, winner of the Association of Christian Publishers Adult Devotional Book of the Year, and the Christopher Medal winner, and many other things. Born in Africa, educated in England, she now lives in New York City. She's a friend. We love and appreciate her. And we're offering these books that Sally has written for you that are listening for your gift of any size to help us continue to bring this radio broadcast to you each and every day. So order your copy of the 2-volume set, Found and Loved, written by Sally Lloyd-Jones.
Yeah, that's right. The set comes in a protective case and also includes a keepsake print that you can hang on your child's wall. It really is a wonderful resource. And we'll send it to thank you for your investment that helps keep these daily studies coming your way. And we'll only be making this resource available a short time longer. So write us today at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org.
This is a pandemic
capable of spreading easily.
We just passed a really, really grim milestone.
Please stay home.
Hey, everybody. Pastor Greg Laurie here. You know, as we're going through this coronavirus, a lot of people are afraid. They're worried. They're concerned. Listen, I want to bring Christ to this crisis, and I want to bring some light into this darkness from the Word of God, so you can turn your worry into worship, so you can turn your fear into faith. Every Sunday, we have a special service we're doing now live, online, and it's simply called Harvest at Home. So if you go to our website, harvest.org, you can join us this coming Sunday for multiple services from the morning to the evening. Be a part of Harvest at Home this Sunday.
Join Pastor Greg Laurie this Sunday for Harvest at Home at harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg brings us even more insight about eternity, insight that'll help us keep a sharper focus in the here and now. That's next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.